Restless and Rebellious. Commentary for the July 10th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. For four centuries, the Israelites had been living in Egypt. That had become their normal. Although the Bible does not give an exact period, longer than Moses had lived, the Egyptians had enslaved them. This would make it at least over 80 years they had been enslaved, and likely much longer. Also likely, in a time long before what we call the Stockholm Syndrome, they had become accustomed to their slavery, and may even have thought of the Egyptians as their benefactors. Perhaps this explains much of the grumbling that Moses had to deal with. Though they had to deal with a system of punishments and rewards that kept them subjugated to the Egyptians, the rules were clear, and all they had to do was obey, and they could survive. One can then see how so much of the Pentateuch is about rules and obedience based on rewards and punishment. It is speaking a language that enslaved people readily understand. Only as they grow beyond that culture of forced obedience, as Paul did with Christ, can they discover what freedom is all about. We have an example of this in the United States from the antebellum period with Frederick Douglass. Once he escaped the culture of slavery in the southern states, he was able to learn the meaning of freedom and became a powerful voice for freedom for all who were enslaved in the South. That passionate voice for freedom even gave him the opportunity to argue for it in the White House with Abraham Lincoln. But approximately 4 million still in slavery had yet to learn what freedom could mean. Some who had recently come from Africa would perhaps remember freedom and yearn for it. But many who were enslaved had been so for generations, as white slave owners bred their slaves to produce another cash crop of human flesh to be sold in the public square on the auction block. Whether enslaved to harsh or benevolent owners, they experienced no other alternative. This may explain why, out of millions, only a few thousand made the attempt to flee north via the Underground Railroad. Maybe, just like so many with a conservative disposition today, they preferred a familiar normal to a possibility that their experience could tell them nothing about. Like the Israelites, when freedom finally came, many turned from it, and they simply entered into sharecropping agreements with the very same masters who had them enslaved before emancipation. Perhaps they figured, better the evil I know than the one I know nothing about. Missing the leaks of Egypt, they may have yearned for some of the certainties of slavery, despite its horrific abuses. While most of us may feel that we would never trade freedom for slavery, we have the advantage of experiencing living without being enslaved, unlike the Israelites of the Exodus and the antebellum blacks. But as generations after those Israelites who went into Egypt as free men discovered, one does not have to be shackled in irons for a transatlantic voyage in a cargo hold to find that freedom has evaporated more quickly than the dew on a blade of grass in the hot summer wind. However, just as not having the experience being free can make it hard to appreciate the meaning of the word, those who have not had the experience of losing their freedom may also have a distorted understanding of what freedom entails. We see this in the varied responses to the COVID-19 pandemic. Most have valued the system of free enterprise that rapidly produced workable vaccinations against the virus and availed themselves of the opportunity to seek protection from the death that has come to over 620,000 people in the United States alone, as of the date I am writing this commentary. To put that in perspective, it is the approximate death of the bloodiest war, death toll of the bloodiest war we have ever fought, the Civil War between the North and the South. The rate of those dying has abated in some states, in large part due to the rapid progress in vaccinating so many. But states with low vaccination rates continue to struggle with higher death rates. Per recent figures from every governmental health care authority, almost all deaths currently occurring are among the non-vaccinated, highlighting the efficacy of vaccination. Some have argued strongly against vaccination for several reasons. Perhaps the most prevalent reason is they do not trust the government to support a safe and effective remedy so rapidly as they have. Others, citing rare cases of side effects, fear that they may suffer a serious side effect. Still others are opposed to anything that manipulates our immune system. Some see it as a religious issue, while others see it as a political one. In any event, a sizable minority, and even a majority in some states, have chosen not to be vaccinated. When we look back at the experience the Israelites had with poisonous snakes and the simple solution God provided in having Moses fashion a bronze snake and place it upon a pole for everyone to look at, we ask how anyone could refuse to look at that serpent and live. When faced with such a simple solution, how could they not at least look, even if they did not believe that looking at metal snakes could cure you? Then we look at our present dilemma over vaccinations and the pandemic, and we begin to understand how some could choose not to be healed. It is as though we feel that no matter what anyone says to the contrary, we know we do not need to look at the serpent on the pole. Ironically, for Christians who say that they value faith over science, even if we say we love God, when we turn from the deliverance he provides, we are left to the processes of natural selection. Some will survive, even if by the skin of their teeth, due to a fortunate genetic code that is resistant. Many will not. I wonder if this is not symptomatic of the overall human condition. When man chose not to trust God in the Garden of Eden, God promised to provide redemption. That promise was fulfilled with the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But though salvation was simply offered as believe and be saved, many, especially religious and political leaders, felt it was all a con and Jesus was not the Savior he purported to be. As a result, they lifted him up in a manner reminiscent of the snake on the pole. They unknowingly made salvation possible for all through his death on the cross, though they chose not to accept that salvation for themselves. When Jesus said he was a cure for the mortal disease that afflicted them, sin, they denied that they were threatened by such a fatal affliction. Furthermore, they did not see him as an effective cure, even if they were so afflicted. Their knowledge trumped his grace, and they would do all they could to counter and silence his witness. In the end, many of them died in their sins, but the testimony of his followers nonetheless brought many to salvation. Then as now, despite the naysayers, many are drawn by hope that things can be different and are willing to have faith even when understanding is not complete. It can be hard to take that step. Fear of the unknown can be a powerful demotivator. But at some point, we always seem to come to the moment of making a choice. Rarely is that choice ever based on complete and perfect information. It often comes down simply to whom we are willing to trust. Social media has hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps millions, all telling us that they are the ones we should trust. Thanks to the multiplier effect of all those voices, as compared to Satan in the Garden of Eden, his whispering enticement to Eve to believe him has grown to a vociferous shout. It can be hard to resist such pressure from so many social media experts. But freedom in Christ demands just that. Few look back and do not question why Eve did not resist the charges the devil made about God's character and purpose. Nonetheless, we are too ready to entertain such accusations against those who have been given the responsibility to lead us, even when we know their accountability is to God. Like Eve, we are not only willing to listen to such insinuations, but we are also willing to pull as many with us as we can. Although it was only one other person, Eve pulled the entirety of mankind with her. A similar spirit causes so many modern insurrectionists to recruit everyone they can to their cause. The Bible tells us that this spirit arose in heaven when the devil rose to challenge God's character and government. He claimed to do so in the name of freedom and managed to pull a third of the angels onto his side. But it was not enough, and he was driven from heaven. The distrust of authority and the spirit of rebellion did not end there. He, his fallen angels, and his human minions have done all they could to keep that spirit alive, to thwart every blessing God would give to mankind, up to and including eternal life. God offers us the freedom to make a choice as to whose voice we will listen to. Will we join in the devil's challenge of all authority, or will we accept God's invitation to choose life so that you and your children may live, as he said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may find other commentary podcasts like it at our website at stillwatersministry.com, www.visitstillwaters.com, as well as this written commentary, including the footnotes, and all the other written commentaries. May God richly bless you and your family.